So follow along as we read Acts 14, verse 1. And it came to pass in Iconium that they went both together into the synagogue of the Jews, and so spake, that a great multitude, both of the Jews and also of the Greeks, believed. But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles, and made their minds evil affected against the brethren. Long time therefore abode they, speaking boldly in the Lord, which gave testimony unto the word of his grace, and granted signs and wonders to be done by their hands. But the multitude of the city was divided, and part held with the Jews, and part with the apostles. And when there was an assault made both of the Gentiles, and also of the Jews with their rulers, to use them despitefully, and to stone them, they were ware of it, and fled unto Lystra, and Derbe, and the cities of Lycaonia, and unto the region that lieth round about. And there they preached the gospel. And there sat a certain man at Lystra, impotent in his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb, who never had walked. The same heard Paul speak, who steadfastly beholding him, and perceiving that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, Stand upright on thy feet. And he leaped and walked. And when the people saw what Paul had done, they lifted up their voices, saying in the speech of Lycaonia, The gods are come down to us in the likeness of men. And they called Barnabas Jupiter and Paul Mercurius, because he was the chief speaker. Then the priest of Jupiter, which was before their city, brought oxen and garlands unto the gates, and would have done sacrifice with the people. Which when the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard of, they rent their clothes and ran in among the people, crying out and saying, Sirs, why do ye these things? We also are men of like passions with you, and preach unto you that ye should turn from these vanities unto the living God, which made heaven and earth and the sea and all things that are therein.
Welcome again to Let the Bible Speak, and again I'm calling all Canadians back to the Bible. I've been hammering at the point that true Christianity is biblical. It is Bible-based. It is a commitment to the written Word of God. We noted the warning of Revelation chapter 22 that we are not to add nor to take away from the words of this book, lest we fall under the condemnation of God. I've pointed out that the Lord Jesus himself was totally committed to the Word of God as written in the Old Testament. He stated in Matthew 5:17, Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. The Lord made it abundantly clear that he was committed to the Old Testament, saying, Think not. He knew such thinking would arise, and such things would be led against him. So he came out in his own defense, saying, Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy the law, but to fulfill. Don't even think about it, as we would say here in Canada. Such a thing is a lie. The point I make is that if the Lord Jesus himself was totally committed to the written Word of God, so should we, if we call ourselves biblical Christians. The Lord built on the foundation of the Old Testament scriptures and called people to obey it, including the Ten Commandments. He did not change the royal law, which is to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and our neighbor as ourselves. Then, also, the Lord Jesus made reference to the key Old Testament Bible characters, like Adam, Noah, Lot, Abraham, Jacob, Moses, Elijah, Isaiah. Not all were writing prophets, but all these characters from the Old Testament form the warp and woof of the Old Testament story. The Lord did not revise that history. He did not undermine the reality or the significance of their lives as recorded in the Old Testament scriptures. Rather, the Lord took them as is, citing their names and the events of their lives as true to facts and to be taken seriously. So the Lord's commitment to the Bible cannot be contested, for it stands tall among the arguments for the accuracy and infallibility of the Word of God. The Bible is a real book, a God-given book, a God-inspired book, God-breathed, and it is the final authority of God to men. I call you to read it. I call you to spend 1 month reading John's Gospel and then the book of Romans. You will never be the same again if you do. By reading one chapter of John per day and two chapters of Romans after you finish the book of John, you will easily read both books in 1 month, and you will discover that God's Word is powerful. So, I throw out the challenge to you today. 1 month, and then you will know the challenge to the Word of God. Will you do it? Welcome to Let the Bible Speak. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher, and today we're continuing in the book of Acts. Today on entering the kingdom of God through much tribulation. Some people think that the Christian is on an easy track. Not so. Stay tuned as we let the Bible speak.
Let's turn to Acts chapter 14. Acts chapter 14. And we want to look at the whole account and the narrative. But if I was to choose a main text out of the passage, it would be verse 22. Confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. And this is a very, very important text in the Christian's life. And we want to preach tonight on what you should expect when you become a Christian. And we see the main events that are happening here in this apostle's life. Now, for the benefit of some who may not have been with us last week, this area of Antioch, Asia Minor, present-day Turkey, if you go from the island of Cyprus and you go right up to the coastline of Turkey, then you have another 100 miles inland, but it's very steep, and it is a climb of 4,500 feet. And I likened it, the area, to Banff, because Banff is about that same elevation. Calgary sits about 3,100 feet. And so when you go up to Banff, there's a slight increase in elevation. And of course, you're right in the mountains there. And so you can imagine the climate that this area had. It was a summer retreat for many. People on the coast would, in the springtime, when the grass is growing, the flowers are out, they would make their way to the more comfortable climate up there in the mountain time. But there must have been many people that lived there year-round, because we can see on the map, and we can see the names here in Acts 14, that there are a number of towns dotted around the area or the region. Now, tonight I'm thinking about the individual converts that were brought to faith in the Lord Jesus around those towns. And these poor souls, their lives must have been turned upside down. They were harassed. They saw the apostle beaten, treated like a dog, cast out. And over, there were all kinds of divisions going on. And they probably wondered, what have we got ourselves into? And maybe you feel that way sometimes too as a Christian. What have we gotten ourselves into by professing the name of the Lord Jesus, renouncing the world? And for a lot of these people, they renounced either their proselytism or their Judaism, and they professed faith in the Lord Jesus. Now, it was to these new converts that the Apostle Paul ministered. And the text that we chose here, verse 22, is really the Apostle Paul backtracking. He has gone, first of all, to Antioch. Things got horrible there. He moved on to Iconium. And then he went on along in the plateau up in that mountainous area to Lystra and Derbe. And then after going through all of those areas, preaching the gospel, finding division, having to move on, instead of going away, he went back. He went back to confirm the converts. He didn't abandon them, but he went back to them to exhort them to continue in the faith, that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. Now, too often, the gospel is presented as a quick fix for everything. And if you want a happy life, come to Jesus. And very often, that's about the extent of the evangelism. But every convert needs to be warned in advance that there's a cross to carry. There's a price to pay. And it may cost you in this world many things. And so this was the message of the apostle, that they must expect that there are going to be hardships, trials, and so on. And here is what a Christian can expect when he or she becomes a Christian. And you have to calculate that there are going to be trials and sufferings. And these are not things to renounce the faith, but reason to confirm you in the faith. Because when you are offended, or others are offended at you, then you know I'm paying the price because I have decided to be a Christian. So tonight we want to look at what we ought to expect when we become a Christian. And the first thing is division. Division. In chapter 13, we learned how Paul and Barnabas were driven out of Antioch. It was no longer free for them to go into the synagogues. And we talked about how the synagogues at first were inviting. They gave opportunities to go in there and to teach, take the Word of God, which would at that time have been the Old Testament, and to read that and to expound it. And of course, Paul, he took the opportunity to preach the gospel. And then in chapter 14, we find that a similar course of events took place. And yet you will see in verse 3 that he had a lengthy ministry in Iconium. Now, on the map, Iconium is a little bit east, a little bit south. I'm not sure if it's uphill or downhill, but it's in the area of that mountaintop. And so they went to this next town, Iconium, and we're told in verse 3 that long time, therefore, abode they speaking boldly in the Lord. This was not just a Saturday night mission. This was a long-term mission. And these men spent considerable time preaching and re-preaching, trying to encourage, exhort, and stir up people to seek the Lord and walk with the Lord. But then look what happened in verse 4. But the multitude of the city was divided. Some people think that everything about Jesus is love. Everything about the gospel is peace, but not in this case. And the Lord, of course, had warned that he had come not to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. Now, this is because the preaching of the Word of God and the gospel not only informs people of truth, but it brings convictions. Now, that means doctrine. That means standing up for truth and what's right. And that's what we are called to do in our present time as well. When we hear the error and the lie, we can't just go along with it, certainly not in the church. When we hear the message that is just the world and all its ideology, we have to renounce that. Now, this division grew, and it says in verse 4, part held with the Jews and part with the apostles. So now you've got two camps. And that's pretty much how it is in most cases when the gospel is preached. Whether you preach it in China, in Australia, South America, Canada, you're going to get people who will be against it and people who will be for it. And here is this division. Now, the reason for the division is the natural hostility in the unconverted heart of men who reject the gospel. If you look at verse 5, it says, then, and when there was an assault. This was no picnic. This was no mere somebody saying, well, I don't agree. This was turning violent. And when there was an assault made both of the Gentiles and also of the Jews with their rulers to use them despitefully and to stone them. Here is real persecution, and it hurt. It was a very serious time. And there was such a zeal among the wicked and the religious. And this is often what surprises us, that when you preach the gospel, people just don't go by and shrug their shoulders and say, I don't care. But it's they get hostile about it. They get upset about it. It irks them. And they push back. And every new convert who comes to faith in the Lord Jesus will one way or another have to face that kind of hostility. In my own experience as a new Christian, when I was 18 years old, and at first I thought everybody want to hear what the Lord has done for me. I was unashamed, unabashed, unafraid to tell anybody that I had received the Lord as my Savior. And then I had to learn, hey, we need to be careful how you introduce this, and that you don't embarrass people, and maybe seek out those that might have an interest, and be careful. And you learn what the Lord Jesus said, that we are to be as wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Now, I have to say that my first attempts to speak the gospel was in seniors' homes. There was a place in our hometown called Tyrone and Fermanagh, and that's all the name it got. But it was really an institute for the elderly or people who had special needs. And I had opportunity to go in there. I don't even know how I got introduced to it, but I got to know some people in there. And I would just stand around their bed and talk about the Lord. And I would read the Bible. And then I remember my uncle, his mother-in-law was in hospital. They were all gathered around the bed, and I went in there and took my Bible and prayed. And, you know, this was all new. What's this? Ian coming in here to read as if he's a preacher or something. And the Lord gave me that boldness. But you soon learn that those opportunities dry up whenever your testimony is known in the community. And then there were those that would have dragged me into kind of a cult-like group, and it was a real confusing time to me. But I remember one day working on the farm, and I was out in the field, and I was thinking hard about this, and I had to go into my bedroom, into the farmhouse, into my bedroom, and I got the Bible. And that day, God settled the matter in my heart. That was wrong, and the gospel was right. And I rejected every invitation and every pressure to get involved in that. And I totally stayed away from it, even though it was very close. and it could have just ruined me. And I've seen what it has done to others, and it has ruined them. And I'm thankful tonight that God spared me from that very subtle attack of the devil. I remember also one day standing on the top of a hill on our farm. It was kind of like rolling farmland, and there was one quite steep hill. And I was right on the top of that looking around, and you could see the countryside around, the river winding its way down the valley, the town on one side, and even the Free Presbyterian Church, which was on the other side of the river. We could see that from that hilltop. And then I looked down upon the farm and I saw the cows grazing. These are dairy cows, black and white ones, and they were grazing along an electric fence. Now, if you have farming blood in you, that is an appealing sight. And the text came to my heart that day. The Lord said, "Lovest thou me more than these?" And that was the time when I was struggling about becoming a full-time preacher or minister. And there was a tug of war going on in my heart. And there were some who were saying to me, "Well, you don't have to do it full-time. You could do it part-time and stay on the farm and keep it going." After all, my father had died just prior to that, and there was a sense of responsibility. And all of this was pressing upon me and weighing upon me. But on that hilltop that day, the Lord certainly spoke, "Lovest thou me more than these?" And it wasn't long after that until I had made the decision that I am going, by God's grace, to prepare myself to be a preacher of the word. And I was so clear on it that when I went to tell our minister in the church, who was the Reverend Reggie Cranston, by the way, and when I went to tell him, I didn't ask him, "Do you think that God might be calling me to be a preacher?" I simply told him that God is calling me to be a preacher. I was absolutely sure in my heart because of these struggles and cares, and because of the tug of war and the pressures that I felt against me. But I had to obey the Lord. And it's that struggle that every new Christian will go through, because the devil will ensure to pull you back. Now, I read a testimony of a young Muslim girl who became a Christian. And in the Muslim world, the battle that goes on if someone professes faith in the Lord Jesus is absolutely fearful. Now, this testimony is of a young woman who was converted to Christ in 2013. She was interviewed by someone, was a blog writer or whatever, Christian author, and she was asked this question in the interview: "How did you become a Christian in the first place?" And she went on to tell the story that her cousin introduced her to a Bible. She hid that Bible under the mattress of her bed, and periodically she would tear a couple of pages out of the Bible, take it to the toilet or the washroom, lock the door, and she would read and reread and sometimes memorize parts of the Bible. And then she would tear up the pages and flush them down the toilet, because she was deadly afraid that anyone would find her reading the Christian Bible. Her cousin continued to witness to her, and at a public market away from the influence of home, this young woman prayed a prayer to the Lord Jesus to be saved. She didn't tell anybody. She didn't have maybe she did have wisdom in not saying anything. I don't know the situation that well. But such was the change in her life, and such was the joy in her heart that she couldn't hide it. And her mother noticed, and she still didn't say anything. And her mother was so disturbed that she took her to a witch to find out what had happened to her daughter. And the witch interviewed her, went through, it was coffee leaves or coffee grounds or tea leaves that she went through, whatever kind of witchcraft it was. And she came up with the answer, she's become a Christian. Now, I don't know if she saw something in the girl's life, her countenance, or whether that dark magic was at work, I don't know. But the girl did not deny it. And she was locked up in her bedroom for 3 days. And this is commonly the practice in Muslim homes where a family member would dare to confess a faith in the Lord. And that girl was locked in her bedroom for 3 days, isolated from everything and everybody. And then they made a decision that they would marry her off. The other option would be an honor killing. And so in this case, she was married off to someone. Someone that the girl didn't even know. And later, she had a daughter. And in that testimony, much later, to that grandmother, that mother of the young mother, of the little girl now that was born, when that mother was dying, that granddaughter told her about Jesus. What a great story. But what hostility to this day in the Muslim world. And the Muslim way of thinking is not as in the West, as we are used to, where we think for ourselves in matters of religion. And of course, Protestants in particular, we are the most independent-minded people of all. We just don't go along with the herd. We want to know for ourselves. Show me in the Bible. I need to see it. I need to read the words. I need to know it's true.
This is Pastor Ian Gollaher. If I can be of any personal help, feel free to give me a call or send me an email. I'll be glad to talk with you one-on-one to give you some pastoral help. I know that the world is filled with hurts and needs. Give me your prayer requests and we can pray together. And may God in His grace minister to your heart and give you a blessed, blessed peace in rejoicing in the gospel of the Lord Jesus. And that starts, as I say, by reading the Bible, by going to the Word of the living God. You have been listening to Let the Bible Speak. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher. If you missed part of this broadcast or would like to hear it again, you can go to ltbs.ca. You will also see ways you may support this gospel ministry. And you will find details about our church in Scarborough, where Reverend Larry Saunders is the minister, in Port Hope, where Reverend Reggie Cranston is the minister, in Barrie, where Reverend Anthony DiDerno is the minister, and in Buffalo, where Reverend Philone is the minister. You will find all their details at ltbs.ca. If I can be of personal help, I would love to open the Bible to talk and pray one-to-one with you so that you may know you are saved and sure of it. Call me at 604-897-2040 or email me at ltbsradio@gmail.com. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher. Until the same time next week on this station, may the Lord bless you and keep you in His loving care.